Empire of the Suns.
Suns.
Empire of the Suns.
Arizona Sports presents the Empire of the Suns podcast.
Empire of the Suns.
I'm Kevin Zimmerman, joined by Kellen Olson. This is the Empire of the Suns podcast. We come to you after a weekend of actual news. The Suns dealt Jared Dudley and a future second-round pick to the Nets for Darrell Arthur. He's going to get waived. But that opened up room for them to trade for Rashawn Holmes from the Sixers. Good move, bad move. I like it.
I like it too, but there is a certain argument to be had that this pick is not going to be... It's a second-round pick in 2021. It is top 35 protected. So if it lands at 36 or 37 or 38, I think the 30 to 45 range still holds a good amount of value depending on how good the draft is. Like the 2017 draft had insane depth in that, and that's the range where guys like... Ojale, Jordan Bell, Juwan Evans, who I think is going to be a good pro. Same with Sendarius Arnold, Dylan Brooks, who was very good in his rookie year. That's where those guys went. And that's usually the range where good second guys go. Like, we don't hear the second round pick that was picked 52nd. Like, that's the big surprise out of the draft. It's rarely in that range. That's where Brogdon went in that kind of range, I want to say. Like, in 37, 38 range.
Couldn't tell you.
So to me, it's just kind of weird. It's like, oh, the pick has protections, but why isn't it just top 45 protected or top 40? Because there's clear value in those spots. But I'm guessing it was just something where they didn't, where both sides wouldn't budge to a certain point, and that's just where they landed. So with that being said, I think trading a lightly protected second round pick for a backup center is fine. But there's still an argument to be said that Rashawn Holmes could not. And let me start this. Big Rashawn Holmes guy. Like, me and you have had conversations like around the Sixers before on this podcast where we really liked some of the other guys they had besides like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Robert Covington. Like, we really liked Dario Saric, TLC. By the way, he's gone.
Sorry.
Too.
Yeah, see. Sorry about that.
TJ McConnell, of course, of U of A is with you. You have your U of A shirt on right now. And Rashawn Holmes is another guy. We were like, yeah, I like Rashawn Holmes. Bottom line is Rashawn Holmes could not beat out Amir Johnson for backup center minutes last year. In order to get him on the court more, they played him with Joel Embiid and played him at the four a lot, which he's not a four. That was just them getting him on the court. He can switch. They like his energy. Embiid's playing on the perimeter a lot, so in that kind of role, it's kind of one of those things where I think Brett Brown is looking at, like, Joel can kind of get some free rest. Holmes can take the battles on the interior. Embiid can kind of sit on the perimeter a bit, get his post touches on certain possessions. So for not being Amir Johnson was not good for the Sixers, by the way. He was decent for what they wanted, but Rashawn Holmes, if he's an NBA backup center, should have beat out Amir Johnson, and he did not. With that being said, it is a nice gamble, but the thing about the Elfrid Payton and the Rashawn Holmes deals is you can't keep doing these over and over again. You can only do them a certain amount of times.
Or hit on one.
Or you have to hit on one, you know? Holmes's contract does expire this year. He's on an expiring deal. Let's say he plays well. You can bring him back on a 2-3-year deal, and now you've got a solid backup center. I think to swing it to you now, the point is, despite him being 24 years old, he has potential, surely, to be a capable backup center in the league.
Yeah, and reading Sixers people stuff, my boy Zach Rosenblatt wrote, he just fell out of favor. Like, he just wasn't good enough, kind of like you said. And when you look at him as a prospect, he's a rim runner. He's a shot blocker. You look at him, he's a big dude. Like, I don't know why they're even playing him at power forward. He's a traditional, like, kind of similar to what Ayton is right now. Like, obviously, lesser version, less talented. He will take occasional three-point shots. The issue, from what all I've read and gathered, and not watching the Sixers enough, obviously limits me in saying this, but it's kind of the same as Ayton. Again, it's consistency. Like, you look at highlight clips, he switches on guys and moves really well for a big man. He's pretty darn athletic. He's a great rim runner. Pretty good athlete. But, like, there's got to be holes there as far as effort, focus, weak side help, stuff like that, that I'm imagining kept him off when Amir Johnson's like one of those vets who's just never developed into a super great NBA player, but he's just a smart player, veteran, solid, doesn't make mistakes. And so obviously when I say all that, he's the backup because we don't know what's happening with Tyson Chandler. And even if Tyson's back, he obviously struggled to play very often.
Yeah, they do not. Their center rotation is pretty linked together now in both positive and negative ways because they're all three of them, at least to start. Ayton to start is going to be primarily like a rim runner for now. That is what Rashawn Holmes is going to be, and that's what Tyson Chandler has been.
They're trying to get spacing, basically, yeah.
Yes, but the problem is all three of them have defensive shortcomings. Ayton and Holmes is more effort, focus-related, whereas Chandler's problem is he can't move.
Yeah.
he's too old now, and he can't make the defensive rotations that he used to be able to make when he was Defensive Player of the Year type of guy. To take it back to Holmes and the focus, Embiid obviously was hurt for certain stretches of the season. Holmes would start, or Holmes would come in and get a majority of the center minutes and would have like 17 and 15.
Yeah.
And you're looking at him and saying, whoa, who's that guy? Rashawn Holmes. I wouldn't mind Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah. It could be the Alfred Payton empty numbers where he comes in, gets triple doubles, and it's like, well, that didn't necessarily help you get to a win.
I think he's a different type of player, though. He's much more energy. He's going to fill the big sauce role, come in and be a fan favorite immediately because of the energetic, athletic plays that he is going to make. I like the move. With him, there's a couple of course correction that needs to happen. Just stop shooting threes. That's not going to happen for you. I was looking at cleaning the glasses numbers on him, and he took 62% of his shots at the rim. That's not that high for a guy like that who doesn't have individual offense.
Didn't he shoot pretty high percentages, too, overall?
Shooting? Yeah, so that's the thing. He shot 23% of his shots from the short mid-range area, so that's like little floaters or little hook shots around there. And he took 10% of his shots from three, which isn't a lot, but that's just cut those out, put 10% more of those at the rim. Now you're taking 72% of your shots at the rim, where he shot 78%. Per cleaning the glass, that's in the 97th percentile among bigs in the league, which is extremely high. And then that short mid-range area we talked about, he shot 46% from there. That's in the 73rd percentile among bigs, which is
that's
really
good
as
yeah.
well. So if he takes out all of this other stuff where he takes also 18% of his shots from the long mid-range area and he takes 5% of his shots there. So you take 5% of the long mid-range, and you take 10%, that's 15% of jumpers. Put 15% of that near the rim where you are great and awesome and efficient, and now you've got an even more efficient offensive player, and I believe that's Igor is going to be the type of coach to say, just focus on rim running, big guy. That's all we need out of you. He blocks shots. He's an impact player defensively, but our big mistake, he blocks shots. He's good on defense. He is not good on defense. His focus is not there all the time. That is the reason he could not play ahead of Amir Johnson. And that is where the Suns will struggle. They are going to have bad defensive centers until we get proven otherwise. For now, they have two centers who are bad on defense, and that is a extremely problematic formula for winning.
We'll just bring in Chris and Bender into this really quickly. I think it doesn't necessarily matter so much because, like I said, you just need a backup center if Tyson's a no-go or he wants to buy out or whatever. Chris and Bender, maybe in some matchups, can slide to center, but you just need that body, and I think depth-wise, it was an upgrade. And if you look at it from this perspective, it's either him or Sauce, I guess, was another option. And I think he's close to the minimum. He's like $1.6 million Holmes is as far as salary, so same price probably, better athlete, rim runner, and that's, I think, what they're trying to do there. Obviously, we saw this coming from like 500 miles away. Alex Len was not coming back over the weekend. He signed with the Hawks, which is, I think, for him, a good move because I know they have Dwayne Dedman and we like him, but I think he'll get opportunity there. Like, as far as talent, like Alex Len's talent and skill will help the Hawks because they do not have much of that.
To put a bow on the last part, by the way, we didn't really talk about the Jared Dudley aspect of that. Essentially, what the Suns did is they traded Jared Dudley and a second-round pick, that second-round pick, to Brooklyn in exchange for Darrell Arthur, who, from what we are believing here, is going to be more open to a buyout, whereas Jared Dudley, the vibes that I was getting at least and from everywhere else was he was not going to do a buyout. And David Aldridge, I believe, reported that Dudley is looking forward to playing with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn is like, okay, sure. You're here for a year. We get a second round pick. That's fine. That's how Brooklyn has been doing things over there. So that created a roster spot, which meant they could trade cash to Philly for Rashawn Holmes. Now they have Rashawn Holmes in an open roster spot for him because they got rid of Dudley. We've talked about Dudley enough, I think, in the past where we were saying he's not going to play. Doesn't really matter. He wasn't really in shape last year coming back from the injury and stuff, but it's not like it was March and he was completely different once he was playing. You know, he was still out of shape. And that don't we have to look at both Dudley and, before we go back to Len, Dudley and Chandler contracts as failures, given what they were supposed to do for this team?
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, we talk, I guess we've been, this is like our week of being harsh on the Suns, but we talked about how so much about how they didn't spend during this these last two summers when other teams spent, but they spent that very first one with Dudley and Chandler. They overpaid to have good locker room guys. And you know what? Maybe we don't know like their impact. We probably don't see it. Like Booker developing, TJ Warren, all these young guys just keeping their heads on straight. Maybe that's worth $2-3 million extra that they probably didn't get out of them in production. I'm sure there's a lot of value in them having those two guys, but as far as on-court production, like that's Brandon Knight still could end up being better contract than both of them. I mean, he's not making that much more.
The whole point essentially is that they were brought in for locker room presence for sure, but they were also supposed to be reliable veteran players. Tyson was not good in his first year, had a bounce back year in his second year, and was the player we thought he was supposed to be. He was not supposed to be one of the 10 best centers in the league or anything, but he was supposed to be effective, and he was. Third year last year, it was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
And we're expecting a whole lot of nothing in year four. So he got one decent year essentially out of the four. So that's a failure. Dudley, 3-year deal. The first year, he kind of, it's a matter of him not getting playing time as well, but at the same time, he came in and played well when he played, but you ultimately signed a guy who had inconsistent playing time.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to, and that's either your fault for not assessing that this wasn't really a guy that you need to give playing time to, or you believe that he was going to have that playing time, and what you saw made you think otherwise, that he shouldn't be playing that much. Either way, it's a failure. So both contracts were bad, and that is something that should be added to the list of things that McDonough did wrong, because he overpaid for locker room presences, essentially. He could have signed Elton Brand and whoever, you know.
On a minimum, yeah. No, but, I mean, bigger picture than that even, it's going back to them making knee-jerk decisions about winning or not, or, you know, that summer they were going after LaMarcus. That was, let's go try to improve on our team that was a 48-win team, like, in my first year for McDonough. So, it's just, there wasn't a clear plan. Their plan was for Dudley to be at least a rotation piece for a team that they thought would be in contention to be a 6-8 seed, maybe. If they got LaMarcus, maybe even better than that. But, yeah, that's just going back to all of this moves and drafting and decisions that have gotten them nowhere in a long time. But aside from that, you have any thoughts on Len? What else do we have to?
Len is, it met its course. We talked about it and I wrote about it at a certain point during last season that, hey, Alex Len is playing better and he finally figured out what he's supposed to do. Guess what? It does not matter at all. It doesn't matter. He's figured out that he needs to be a good rebounder, a good rim protector, finish as much as he can around the rim, limit everything else. Don't do anything else, really. He is a okay rebounder, an okay rim protector, bad finisher, terrible hands.
I'll give him he's an above average rebounder.
Above average rebounder. Okay, that's probably, yeah, that's fair. That's it.
That's about it, yeah.
And you need, guess what? That is Alex Len better than Rashawn Holmes? Maybe. I think you can probably say that he is, but sometimes this is just the way it goes. He needs to move on. The Suns need to move on. That's especially when you're this team, when you just won 21 games and you're trying to change things. It's not an environment to be like, well, he's the best backup center option we've got, so come on back. That's not the way this was ever going to go. It seemed like he's going to get a decent opportunity in Atlanta. Trae Young is going to hate him 8 games in because he keeps dropping his amazing passes. But that's just the way it goes for Trae Young in Atlanta all year, probably. Poor Trae Young.
Just focus on John Collins, Trae Young. It'll
yeah,
be fun.
Yeah, focus on John Collins.
Nothing
indeed.
Else.
But it's a good opportunity for Len. He got a 2-year deal. Was not expecting him to get more than a year, even if it's not guaranteed on the second end. Good for him. And he was always going to get another opportunity as a top 5 pick because that's what always happens for those guys. And people are doing what they always do and overreacting to all these stats and everything that say Len was one of the best players on the Suns, and everyone's saying this is a guy to watch out for. He's could be a bargain, and I guess he could be. We've talked about on this podcast how we believe that there's a really good chance that he winds up being much better on his second team than he was here. And that chance holds true, but, I mean,
that's a value deal. I mean, if he's an NBA backup center, $4 million a year or whatever, that's what you pay. I mean, that's what they're paying. They're paying Sauce more than that, and he's probably a third string center. And so, other thing that happened.
I thought you were at the point where you didn't know what we...
No, I was...
Oh, yeah, you said Alec. Yeah, exactly, and I interrupted you. Sorry, go ahead.
Do you have anything else?
No, Davon Reed and Shaq Harrison are supposedly back, and Alec Peters is gone. Those are the last three kind of moves.
Basically, the roster's set, barring any point guard who hits the market, I would imagine. We could... Yeah, Alec Peters signed with Moscow, and... Are you concerned about the point guard spot? Because I know that it's dude coming off ACL tear and rookie point guard who hasn't played. I mean, the top French league is pretty good, but it's probably not even up. It might be top 5 in Europe, probably, right? I don't know.
So, conspiracy theory Kellen has arrived. Hello, my name is Kellen.
What's up?
Why haven't they let go of Jarrell Arthur yet?
Yeah. Trade that contract, yeah.
Include that expiring contract in a deal. I think they are still looking to make a deal and still looking to make a deal for a point guard. I'm going to believe this until the preseason starts, until media day arrives.
Until
maybe.
We get that email that says they actually waived him, at least.
Exactly. Or Tyson gets bought out. And our own John Gambadoro, by the way, has been reporting, I don't know if we mentioned that they have explored a buyout with him, and they did explore buyouts with Dudley.
If buyouts Tyson, are two ways, by the way. You have to like agree to that. I
exactly.
think that's why the Dudley trade happened, because if they
Me
just
too.
Bought
yep.
him out, yeah.
And people, it was weird.
People were,
people were really trying to digest that and saying, like, this is a money-saving move, and I guess technically it is, but it was just about them creating another roster spot.
Yeah.
Dudley was never, ever going to play. He said that on Bickley and Murata. He was never going to play. He knew that he was going to rack up DMPs, and he gets to go to a team in Brooklyn that actually needs him, that shoots threes a lot, and he is going to help them a lot in certain stretches, I would assume, at least. To go back to conspiracy theories, you have Jarrell Arthur, $7 million expiring. You have Tyson's $10 million expiring. Those two guys don't seem long for this team, in my opinion, especially Arthur, obviously. So I believe that there is still a point guard trade in the works. It is at least being worked on, or else you would get rid of Arthur, say, here's our 15 guys, sit on your hands, unless something comes up out of nowhere. But McDonough's keeping his options open because I think a trade for a point guard is still coming. How can you realistically tell people that you want to win and you are coming off, I think the thing, I think Brendan Kleen brought this up on Twitter a couple days ago. Brandon Knight is not only coming off when he was terrible, he's coming off a major knee surgery. So who knows how good of a player he's going to be. And Eli Okobo looks good and everything in summer league, but he just got came from the French league, which is super low in terms of competitiveness compared to other leagues. And that's going to be your point guard rotation, along with Shaquille Harrison, who really defends well but can't shoot or score. It doesn't make sense for a team that has very high winning aspirations. It doesn't even make sense from a Brandon Knight boost his trade value perspective, because he's going to get minutes.
Yeah. The backup, like, who's backing him up? I guess Shaq. Yeah. I mean, Shaq can lock down, but your offense comes to a crawl, or you just lean on Booker so much.
And we're not saying they're going to trade for Kemba Walker. We're just saying, like, trade for Tyus Jones or some other, like, a capable NBA point guard. Because
I heard Tyler Ennis is off the market. He's, like, in China or something.
He signed with Fenerbahce, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
All three of their guys, we don't know if they're capable NBA point guards. What?
Yeah.
Please. I mean, this is okay. The biggest thing that's going to upset me about this, Now shut up. Devin Booker playing point guard again. Let's never do that again, Kevin.
I'm not super against that part, but I don't think they'd. Yeah.
Starting at point guard.
No, absolutely not.
Which could happen if that's their point guard rotation and everything goes wrong. And they have all those wings and they're trying to fit him in.
Yeah.
Couldn't you see that?
Uh-huh.
Earl Watson's not their coach anymore, but I could still see it. Like, Earl Watson would have been all about that.
That's where I think, like, it's at least good their offense isn't going to be as reliant on point guards, or doesn't need to be, I guess. They had actually pretty... It was surprising how much it was in summer league. That was one of the things that stood out to me. But, yeah, that's not ideal, but... Man. Yeah. Sorry, I just...
Well, there's nothing else to say, right?
I'm just thinking from a PR standpoint, like, how they maneuver this, because...
Exactly, yeah.
Like we've talked about the last 2 weeks, this team's not going to be good either way, I don't think. So do you say we're going with this point guard rotation as is, which is obviously a back to the timeline move after we said they're going to win and make aggressive moves and sign Trevor Ariza? Or you...
Are they really going to play the angle of Brandon Knight is coming back, he was an effective near all-star player 3 years ago angle? Are they really going to do that? I don't care.
With no insurance. It's not even about that. It's like once he leaves the court, it's you're not doing your other players any good service by having them play with just probably not an NBA caliber player at this point. Even if Okobo's decent, he's not going to be there, I don't think. So when you talk about like why you brought in Ariza, it was solidify one roster spot, make a vocal leader on the court most of the time. That's another spot where that's huge. Backup point guard, even. Like, go get a guy who's older, maybe not even that good, but at least is going to be like, hey, do this. Like, you guys need to be in the right spots.
One more thing I want to say before I go back to your point, which is really strong, is that everyone listening to this podcast knows how many moments there were watching the Suns where you shook your head, you asked yourself, why am I watching this? It felt hopeless, etc. There should be basically none of those moments next season. That is the whole
transition. Even if you're losing,
That's the whole transition they want to make. That is called being competitive, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
But it's more like just having hope. There was no hope last season. None. When Devin Booker, especially when he was hurt, there was nothing. All those, I don't want to say laughable, that's mean, but laughable starting lineups and laughable rotations they had sometimes. None of that is going to happen anymore or should happen anymore. But you're risking that happening if this is your point guard rotation, which is why it doesn't make sense. So quick game. Let's go up and down the Suns rotation of players we believe are going to play, and you tell me who you believe is solid, reliable, NBA-quality player at their position that Igor Kokoshkov, as a first-year coach, can actually rely on. I think it's Devin Booker, Trevor Ariza, maybe TJ Warren, and that's it. Who can he actually rely on every night to get their job done no matter what?
can I throw Ayton in there? Like, he's going to make mistakes, but
I think you can. I'm just saying he's a rookie big, and bigs always take time more than any other positions. Chris Hansen had an ironic tweet that I actually took seriously that was build a team in the NBA salary cap that can beat the Warriors. And the thing I learned doing that is there are no really true great young bigs that aren't making a lot of money, because Embiid's contract just came up, he just got extended, Jokic just got extended, and so on. There isn't a Donovan Mitchell of bigs right now, I guess. It's
Jordan Bell.
Yeah, there is no Devin Booker of bigs right now. There's no 20-21 year old freak center who just does so many things right. That's because bigs take time. They always take time, and that's why I don't want to include Ayton in there. But even if we include Ayton in there, Kevin,
that's
Four guys, and one of them is not your point guard.
I would put Knight. I'll even put Knight in there if he's healthy. That's an if.
So that's five. This is not a get depressed about the Suns, they're going to suck thing. This is a they need. Tyus Jones is a reliable NBA backup point guard. That's just the first name we keep bringing up. But if you bring in someone of his level, at least, it's like, okay, I know what I'm getting out of that guy, at least.
Go get Corey Joseph, DeLon Wright.
DeLon Wright's a good one. I like DeLon Wright a lot. There's a lot of names still out there.
Yeah.
That is the type of trade, Rashawn Holmes-type trade, that they should be making right now for the Milwaukee pick.
Yeah, I agree.
If Minnesota is so keen to sign Derrick Rose back, why won't they take Tyus Jones for that pick?
Tibbs. Kellen's shaking his head. Putting his hand on his head.
This is going to be our mood until they have a point guard, or we know that this is the plan.
And hey, if Elia Kobo looks like a super definite rotation point guard, then I guess we're wrong, but there's a reason he didn't get drafted 15th and he got drafted 31st.
What we just talked about is exactly why it is not crazy to see this team bottoming out again. Not in the West, because Sacramento's going to be god-awful, but
I just want to see, like, those dudes play the whole season and keep fighting, and when they lose five in a row, Igor sends him out and is like, you guys need to man up and just figure it out. Like, we're done with this tanking stuff. It's not even the tanking part that bothers me. It's the, I guess they were hurt, but.
To kind of wrap it up on the trade speculation point, maybe it is one of those things where they are in a situation similar to Philadelphia and they see that Miami pick and say, this is going to be one of the main trade assets we use to go get a really good player. And the Suns could be in that situation now after trading a Miami pick and saying, we're not making any big moves here anymore, not even including first-round picks and deals, until we get that impact player at either point guard or power forward. It seems like the two positions right now. That could be what they're doing as well. It could be not sitting on a point guard trade, perhaps, but sitting on that type of trade, which isn't flawed thinking. And yes, this year ultimately doesn't matter because you're not going to make the playoffs. But at the same time, if you want to, the path to them being really good next year is not acquiring two all-stars, because that's not going to happen. The path is winning at least 30 games this year.
Yeah. And just
because it's all about the young guys.
Yeah. Well said, sir.
Can they win 30 games with this point guard rotation, do you think? If it goes well? I'm not even saying if it's
it goes
average
well,
outcome.
I think so.
Me too. To end on that point, I think, because we're not saying it's all hopeless with these guys at the point guard position, but there's just a huge amount of risk.
I mean, there's just so much youth across the rest of the roster that I guess quibbling over the point guard spot is just quibbling at some point, but yeah, there are concerns, and it's a lot of it's on Knight, to be honest. It's just health, and can he find it under a new coach who hopefully has a plan?
You saw the face I made. You know when you're like digging through your brain and trying to find a thought you had a week ago, and it's impossible? I was trying for like 3 minutes, and I finally got it. remember when the Suns were going after Blake Griffin and Paul Millsap, and we looked at each other and said, you have Dragan Bender, Marquese Chris, let them play? Maybe that was the situation where the Suns were a year ahead of us because they're seeing these guys every day in practice and everything and just saw these guys don't have it. We don't have to give them all this playing time because we believe that they are not going to wind up being worth where they were drafted, and we're fine with bringing in a power forward who's going to help us win a lot of games right now and giving those guys incremental playing time where it is. Maybe the Suns are in that, maybe we're in that same sort of situation, but they've seen Knight and Okobo so much where they actually do believe that's a competent point guard rotation. I think that could be, that's a possibility.
That is a possibility. You would think and hope that that's what the thought process is. And what they've said is kind of along those lines.
Yeah, Millsap and Blake made a whole lot more sense once we saw Bender and Chris in year two. Year three? Did Blake sign? Millsap signed last year. Yeah, year three.
All right. What's next for us? It's that dead period of summer. We'll probably do a Q&A. Didn't we pimp that last week, and then we didn't because something happened for real? So
the first week where we don't have stuff happening or have a guest come on or whatever, we're going to be doing a mailbag on Twitter. So keep an eye out. Follow at Empire of the Suns on Twitter. We'll tweet out. For questions, I'll retweet it, you'll retweet it, you'll see it somewhere if you're following us enough. And ask us questions, we will answer them.